Northern Brewer is the proud sponsor of the Brewing Network's Jameel Show. They have the widest selection of domestic and imported malts and grain, hops from all over the world, and a full line of liquid and dry yeast. No matter what style of beer you're brewing, Northern Brewer has the ingredients you need, plus fast shipping and expert staff to help you make the best beer possible. Please visit northernbrewer.com for all things homebrew. Network is proud to present Beer Radio that turns ordinary homebrew into award-winning beer. The Jameel Show. And now, your hosts, Jameel Zainasheff and John Plisse.
Hey, howdy, hey, my brewing brothers and sisters.
Hey, howdy, hey.
Come on, Mike. Say it. You're ready to change that intro now.
I'm into the hey, howdy, hey thing.
You're in the...
We're going to have to come up with something
hey,
different.
Come up with something different. Come on. Hey, still call the Jameel Show.
Tasty's already making executive changes.
Yeah, the juicy show. The juicy show. I'll tell you.
Juicy, yeah, that's
you
right.
Know, when you got your own show, that's when you can start making the changes. Otherwise, we're the response to canceling the Jameel Show and, finishing up all the styles, and really that's when we're going to end it. You know, John and I had this thing from the beginning. We're like, look, we go through all the styles. We ran out of styles. We're done. We're out of here. We're outy. But, there's been a request, and to tell you the truth, we have a hell of a lot of fun doing the show. So we're adding on Tasty McDowell. He's going to be a co-host.
Tasty.
And we are going to, or Juicy McDowell, whichever you want to call him. And we are going to be doing a new show called Can You Brew It? The Jameel Show, Can You Brew It? And this is where you send in your clone requests. Hey, I want you to brew a Lagunitas IPA. Hey, I want you to brew a Dogfish 90. Hey, I want you to brew, whatever. Can you brew it? And we'll take the challenge on. We'll do the research. We'll contact the brewery, or we'll, through various subterfuge, we will find out a recipe that will clone that beer. We'll brew it. We'll actually brew it. We'll taste it. We'll make sure that is a quality clone. If it's not, we'll tell you if we blew it.
we'll
tell you the truth.
Yeah, we'll admit it.
We'll tell you what we do different. And, if we blow it bad, maybe we'll revisit. We'll have an annual show where we go through.
Do-overs?
Here's where we blew it, and now we're dialed in. But we'll get these things dialed in. We'll help you clone the beers that you really love.
Well, I imagine a lot of the listeners have some pretty good clone recipes of their own that...
Absolutely.
Would get us right to where we want to be on some of these beers. So I'm sure they'll let us know about those.
I'm sure you'll definitely learn a lot from other brewers out there.
Yeah, definitely.
That have access to those other breweries and stuff as well. So.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know. I know Jameel's got a few that he's nailed, and I might have a couple, too.
You have a couple, that's it, McTowell?
I'm not getting it.
I got a few that I nailed.
Are we
talking women, or are we talking beer?
Probably both.
Beer recipes.
Go hand in hand on
clone recipes. This is Can You Brew It, not Can You...
Can you screw it?
Yeah. You can screw it up.
Oh, but. That's another good spinoff, though.
Can you screw it? No. Oh, we got another show.
That's another network.
Love Strong followed by Can You Screw It?
We
have a lot of reality radio coming out of the BN in the coming years.
Yeah, we'd be good for it.
I just need to get fired, and then I'm here like 24/7 in the studio yakking nonstop.
Yeah.
I'm sure BN stock will drop precipitously.
All yak, all the time.
At that point, all yak, all the time, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, and not all yak all the time is our fine sponsor, Northern Brewer.
Absolutely.
NorthernBrewer.com. They have sponsored this show most of the 3 years we've been around, and really kept us going and made all this possible. So, show your appreciation by letting them know you heard about them from us and you are buying at NorthernBrewer.com. In support of the Jameel Show and the future Jameel Show, Can You Brew It? And today we are talking about Australian Pale Ale or Australian Sparkling Ale.
Yeah.
John Palmer and I, we went to Australia just recently.
Had a good time, as you told us.
Had a fantastic time.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things I found most fascinating was I got to try Australian Sparkling Ale there in Australia. And it was so much better than I've had here.
Well, it's made there. It's fresher, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, it's made, yeah, a little fresher.
Homegrown.
Yeah. And the bottles I got in BevMo here locally just didn't quite match up to what I got there in Australia.
Okay. Well,
and you know, while I was there, I actually made a couple of good buddies there.
Oh, yeah.
I met two of my favorite people. One Peter Simons and his buddy Barry. Mm. We palled around and had a great time. And so I've asked Peter to join us here to talk Australian Pale Ale. Peter, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you.
Oh, fantastic! It's good to hear your voice again. I'll tell you one thing. You know, I had a great time. Everybody in Australia, you know, the people there are fantastic. The beers there are fantastic. The weather's fantastic. The
beer.
Everything about the place, yeah. I can't go on enough about. But one of the best experiences I had, one evening, Peter and Barry, they took us out, Palmer and myself, to this Indian restaurant just around the corner from the hotel, it turned out. And this guy, he has served like, what was it, Peter? It was Cher, it was Barry Manilow, it was Elton John, it was
famous. Heaps of black and white photographs around the walls, and this guy must have been 80, mustn't he?
Yeah. It was the beer was not so great because, you know, it was he wasn't focused on the beer, but the food was the best Indian food I've ever had in my life. It was spectacular. We didn't even really order anything. We just told him to bring us food, and he took care of the rest.
And you were just satisfied.
Just absolutely incredible. And then the company...
I think you have to mention we were the only four people
yes.
in the restaurant.
Yeah, we were the only four people, and it was very much like being in this guy's living room.
Perfect.
In his house.
Yeah.
And it was very odd. But the food was fantastic. And I'll tell you, you know, Peter, the company really made it. It was one of the best... dining experiences of my life was sitting there with my friends, having this kind of eclectic environment with these fabulous food, and Peter picked up the tab for all of us, and it was not a cheap meal. When you just tell the owner of some restaurant that only has four people in it to go to town, that's what he does on the bill as well as on the food. But it was absolutely one of the best experiences of my life. And I'm not sure I thanked you thoroughly at the time, Peter.
I think you just did. That's awesome.
Well, I think you just did, didn't you?
Yeah. Absolutely.
No, it was cool. It was great. It was great fun. To have two oracles with Barry and myself talk down and dirty on the brewing thing, because there's only a limited number of people in the world who will listen to you before their eyes glaze over. And you guys, no, you're as stupid as we were.
Must have been the beer.
Oh yeah, I just had a fabulous time. We went to a couple of different breweries together, or several different breweries together. And experience the best that Melbourne had to offer, and it was quite good. And I appreciated the company on that. Hanging with you and Barry was probably one of the best highlights of my Australian trip.
And I've got to be careful what I say, because I live in Sydney, and the Sydney Melbourne rivalry is well known, not to mention Brisbane and the other states. I would hope a future ANHC would be in Sydney, and then perhaps we could look at some different things.
Well, you know, that would be funny thing right now. We are sampling a couple of beers from the Red Oak Brewery in Sydney.
Ah, good.
Yeah, drinking
which
right
ones
now.
Have you got?
There's the Organic Pale Ale, and these were carried by hand. And then I'm about to open the Belgian Chocolate Stout. This is
One should be a good one.
Said Australia's most awarded brewery, 2005-2006.
The chocolate stout, I think you'll find, would be very nice. I can't say I've had the pale, but I've had the chocolate stout. That's yummy.
Well, as I was mentioning to John earlier, one of the things I found most fascinating was how much better Cooper's is in Australia. I'm not sure it travels that well. I think it was fantastic there. And here in the States, it's just okay.
Passes prime, huh?
Yeah. Mm. Well, they do say that the whole green movement, local food and all the rest of it, you have your provenance of your local area, the terroir or whatever they call it, where the beer's better where it's made. It doesn't always travel well.
Well, that, and it might also have been the fantastic company. Everything tasted better to me there with all the wonderful people that were surrounding me. So I think that might have an impact. All right. So Peter's going to talk to us today about Australian Pale Ale. Peter, can you start off by kind of introducing us to the style, people that may not have tasted it or have access to Cooper's or any example of Australian Pale Ale or Australian Sparkling? Can you go through it basically for us, give us a rundown?
Yeah, sure. The I guess one of the better analogies for the U.S. Audience in particular would be the style is a bit like Anchor Steam, which is virtually the only remnant of a particular style at a particular time. And Cooper's Pale Ale and Cooper's Sparkling Ale are both remnants from the late 1900s, early 20th century. And they've managed as a style to exist mostly because Cooper's has been very niche in the way that they have developed over the years. They've typically supplied in bottle conditioning, since they set up in 1864. And a lot of other breweries at the time, as we're talking sort of 1860s, 1870s, were competing with the imported English pale ales of the time. And they'd be of the Burton style, not necessarily IPAs, but Burton-type pale ales. The various processes used at the time in the UK, they were brewing at that time only in the winter, whereas in Australia, with the much higher temperatures, they were trying to replicate a beer without any temperature control. The process that they adopted used the methods of the time, and the methods of that time in the late 1880s was to use a dropping type system where they had a round for the primary fermentation, and then they drop into a barrel. Very similar to the way that Breakspears used to do it before they got taken over and moved. And I'm not sure that they still do that same process. But they were trying to use a process adapted for the Australian conditions to match the imported beers of the time. So the number of breweries that existed in that period were quite extensive. And then there were several events as regulation kicked in. And in particular in South Australia, they adopted the South Australia Beer Duty Act, which meant that duty had to be paid on beer before it was sold. breweries had to be registered, and this dramatically reduced the number of brewers because of having to pay so much money up front. And then the next culling of breweries in Australia, and therefore a reduction in the style, was the introduction of lager. As people who know me, I'm not a great fan of lager. But in a country such as Australia, it was seen as suitable for the climate to have a dry, crisp beer without the limitations of an ale and not being able to control the temperature. But really, only the big breweries could afford to invest in refrigeration, and Coopers wasn't one of those. So Coopers is still at this stage, and because Coopers is the only one that's managed to survive all this time, it's the only one that I've managed to find a documented record from their a book that dealt with the history of Coopers Brewery from 1862 to 1987, called Jolly Good Ale and Old, The History of Coopers Brewery, by Alison Painter, and that's been quite a good source of background as to why Coopers have survived and others haven't.
So what I find interesting is, so the fermentation practices were similar to, say, an Anchor Steam, but the grist was different, because Anchor Steam has a lot of crystal caramel type of character to it, but the Australian Pale and Australian Sparkling, I didn't see a whole lot of crystal malt character in it. Is that true?
Yes, and there's the modern interpretation of the style from the derivation. Originally, they were using malt, sugar, and hops, and that was about it.
And the sugar was to extend the malt, because the malt quality was kind of low. They weren't quite getting enough sugars out of it, so they would add a basic sugar to extend it, or?
Yeah, in some cases that's mentioned. In the other cases, because they were trying to clone, in effect, the imported beers, they were actually using imported malts and imported hops, such as Goldings.
They were expensive.
They were expensive, and the other things that, as we move into the early 20th century, the quality of the ingredients is getting better from Australia, New Zealand, and there are documents in there that sort of describe the recipe of the time. Could be a fairly simple grist, typically with very little crystal, and that really brings us up to today, where over the years, Coopers have refined, they've changed their yeast, they've changed the grist, as they've changed their brewing technology. So where we are today is typically a base malt that is usually a very pale malt. It might be a Pilsner. It may be a 50-50 pale and Pilsner. That's the one that that Barry's investigating. Typically, it has some wheat malt and a touch of colour with some light crystal, perhaps to 90 EBC. Some people like the idea of having cane sugar. Some people regard it as being a terrible thing to do, but it's been a legitimate practice in brewing for a number of years, and given that you're trying to get a very low attenuation in this style of beer, the cane sugar can help. So we're talking a fairly simple grist to give you something that is a very attenuated beer. It's intended as really an equivalent to a lager. There are a lot of other pale ales that are actually lagers.
Can, can, the, you,
Sorry.
Can you give us a quick rundown? Give us kind of a BJCP type description of the style, appearance, aroma, flavor, mouthfeel, that sort of thing. May not have had an opportunity to taste this. So if you could do that, I think that'd be great.
Okay, no worries. Using the AABC style guidelines for Australian pale ale, the appearance, we're looking at gold to amber color with fairly high carbonation from the bottle conditioning. We're talking of an aroma where you have fruity, yeast dry derived aromas, and you're getting some light, sweet pale malt underneath. Very low hop aroma and no diacetyl. As far as flavor goes, looking at medium to high fruitiness, so you're probably going to get a lot of esters with the high fermentation temperature, and a background of peppery, herbaceous flavor from typically a Pride of Ringwood hop. And you're in your finish, you're looking at a fairly long, dry finish from the attenuation with some fruity aftertaste. Mouthfeel-wise, it's a light to medium-light body, and you'll get a clean, crisp mouthfeel, which is enhanced by the spritzy carbonation. So the overall impression is a lively pale ale, solid bitterness, a refreshing dry finish that's well-suited to a hot climate. And the notes here say, bland examples lacking fruitiness should be considered out of style. So fruitiness is good.
Well, and that's one thing I noticed. You guys had some Coopers available at the conference, and I tasted that, and it was light, and it was fresh, and it was fruity, very fruity, and wonderfully delicious. I really enjoyed it. I could have consumed many pints of that. I was very impressed, and like I said, the bottled examples I've had before really didn't excite me, and that really did. I was impressed once I had that on hand. All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, Peter, we want you to start getting into the recipe for how we'd brew a great example of Australian pale ale. Back after this.
Okay, so my double IPA has an ABV of 7.5 and a clarity of brilliant, so that's a plus 8. I pour it.
Sorry, looks like she found it unpalatable.
Shut up, Doug.
My creek gets a plus 10 versus girls because it's a fruit beer.
You can't open the bottle, and she walks over to the guy with the Pinot Grigio.
This sucks.
Ugh, I hate it when Greg's the brewmaster.
What's this? Non-Alcoholics Anonymous?
Dude, get out of here. We're in the middle of a brew session.
Is that an actual beer?
Yeah, I crafted it. I don't really use the dice anymore. I'm a 10th level beer nerd.
Are you a 10th level beer nerd? Have you ever been called upon to explain why it's named India Pale Ale? Do you burp Y Yeast 3522 and Crap Cascade? Then you're in good company at Northern Brewer. Northern Brewer has all your beer nerd needs, ingredients, equipment, and knowledge 24 hours a day at northernbrewer.com. Plus, fast, cheap shipping, only $7.99 for the contiguous USA. And check out Northern Brewer's huge selection of dorky beer kits, including the Tongue Splitter.
I've got dry hop stuck in my braces.
And the Bourbon Barrel Porter.
Now on tap in the Mos Eisley Cantina.
Make 10th level at northernbrewer.com.
Nico, listen, our lawyers said that we had to do this for 1 hour, and after this, we don't have to talk to each other for 3 more months until the next meeting.
Kids, come on, let's get out of here.
I'm supposed to have more lines. I'm the professional. Hey, it's Sully.
And I'm Nico.
And we opened the 21st Amendment 9 years ago at 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park, to make great beer and have a great time doing it.
That's right, because to us, the 21st Amendment is more than just the right to make beer. It's the right to experiment, to be innovative, and just do things differently. And so now, we're putting our craft beer in cans.
That's right, cans. You can find our world-famous Heller High Watermelon Wheat Beer and Brew Free or Die IPA throughout California and Alaska.
And now it's also available on draft at select accounts in the Bay Area.
So next time you're at your local neighborhood pub or good beer store, be sure to ask for 21st Amendment in cans.
Because everyone likes it in a can.
Tasty Crack Cans.
Tasty Crack Can.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
We're back. We're talking Australian Pale Ale with my good friend Peter Simons out in Sydney, Australia. Are you in Sydney proper, or are you on the outskirts?
I'm about half an hour from the CBD, so I'm in the middle of Sydney compared to a lot of people.
See, and that's the other thing is, you know, I figured that out. They're talking city business center or something like that, right? Or city business district.
Central business district.
Central business district. CBD. Everyone's talking the CBD.
I'm wondering,
what's the CBD? And then they're talking the center of the city in the business district. I figured that out on my own.
Yeah, he did.
So I didn't have
You didn't have to Google.
Yeah, I didn't have too much to drink while I was in Australia. Apparently,
you still remembered the actual experience. That's good.
Yeah. Well, no, I kept seeing CBD. I'm like, well, what could that be? And then I finally kind of figured it out. Mm. All right, so we're talking Australian Pale Ale, and Peter, can you give us a recipe that's going to help the listeners make a award-winning version of Australian Pale Ale?
Well, yes.
There you go. All right, then we're done.
No. Right. Is that okay now? Yeah.
Good show.
We have, bearing in mind that there's an Australian Pale Ale that's of lower gravity and is effectively the Cooper's Pale Ale, and then there's the Australian Sparkling Ale. So we'll go with the Cooper's Sparkling Ale, and I'll give a recipe, and the credit for the recipe goes to Tim from the AHB, the Aussie Homebrewer Board. I posted on there looking for a version of a sparkling ale, and I'll give you this version. And he also credits Tony Wheeler, and Tony Wheeler was the person that gave the talk at the ANHC about pale ale. So, this is a version. There are a range of grists that you could use, but let's go with this one. 97% Pilsner. 3% a light crystal, somewhere between 60 to 90 EBC. Looking at 40 to 45 IBUs using Pride of Ringwood. Depending on your type of water, most waters in Australia are fairly soft, and typically you need to add in calcium sulfate. So you'll need to sort out your residual alkalinities and work out exactly what that means in your part of the swamp. You want me to go into the mashing regime?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you want the attenuation, you probably need to be around 62, 63 degrees C. And I think for everybody else, that's about 144F-ish. And a 90-minute mash. And followed by a 90-minute boil. Even though Cooper's can be served cloudy from the residual yeast and the bottle conditioning yeast, the style guidelines are looking for it to be served clear. So I would tend to put in a Whirlflock tablet into a typical 5-gallon, 19-litre batch. In terms of yeast, the possibilities you have, the stuff you've got from BevMo there, you could probably culture up the yeast in there, and that's probably, if you're trying to get as close a possible clone to Cooper's, you'd use the Cooper's yeast.
Now is this the same yeast that they put in the dry yeast packets with the Cooper's extract kits?
No. That's a dry yeast. The yeast, again from the AHB sources, somebody has checked with Cooper's themselves, the yeast that they use for the bottle conditioning is the same yeast that they use for primary fermentation. So we're talking about the yeast effectively in the bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And culture that up to a 1.5 to 2 liter starter.
And the dry yeast is a different yeast then?
Yes, the dry yeast is different, and I'm not really sure whether this beer, given the attenuation that you want, that a dry yeast would cut it. Possibly Nottingham, but you want something that's going to attenuate right down to 004 to 006. So, you know, you really, this is a style that you should use liquid yeast, I think.
So a very low finishing gravity, 1 Plato to 1.5 Plato. Again, dry, spritzy, sparkling, fruity. What about fermentation temperatures?
Ah, yes. Now, that's interesting. Just while I'm on yeast, White Labs have got a platinum strain out at the moment, WLP009. Mm-hmm. And that's the Australian ale yeast, and I presume it's not unadjacent to Cooper's, so that might be interesting to try.
There you go.
The fermentation, you want the fruitiness, so it depends on how much fruitiness you like. If you want it very fruity, you're probably in the 21 to 23 C, and if you want it less fruity, you're probably in the 18 to 20 C range.
In the 70 to 75 Fahrenheit type of range, we're talking.
If that's what it is, yes.
That's what the chart on the wall tells me.
Yes.
Oh, right. Good. Oh, you've got additional
got a reference. Unfortunately, I have to turn around to see it, which doesn't help a whole lot. But with the microphones, but yeah.
Yeah. So somewhere around 70-ish.
Mm-hmm.
You do get a lot of banana. Mm-hmm. And if you're not very keen on that banana-y type ester, then you probably want to ferment a bit low. But yeah, it's a pretty straightforward recipe, but you need to get it dry in the finish.
Mm-hmm.
Now the style guidelines are looking at a 40 to 45 IBU. Range of just a single bittering addition. So there's no late hops, although some people might choose to. It's not really a hoppy beer like an American pale. It is a fruity beer driven by the yeast. What have we got to now? Yes, so that's... Now, the IBUs are quite high, but we've got a very low finishing gravity, so the bitterness is balanced against the grist. So you don't really want to get a lot of malt sweetness in this beer. This is a drinking beer. This isn't a sipping beer, if you know what I mean.
Hey, that's what we like, is drinking beer.
Yeah.
Question for you. They mentioned in the style a lot of a fruit character going on. Can you overdo it in the style where you have too much esters? Because is that a drinkability that you're going for in this style? I mean, there's a balance of maltiness, but there's obviously an apparent ester flavor profile going on. I'm wondering if can you overdo it?
Oh, I think you could overdo the banana-y... Yeah, if you cranked it up, I think, not that I've ever tried, beyond sort of 23-ish, I think that would take you into the extreme beer area, and who knows what you'd get out of that.
Okay.
You might be into, you're sort of in Belgian territory there, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think the whole banana ester has to do with growth and lack of growth and oxygen and a lot of different parameters like that. So I would suggest our listeners play around with those parameters until they get kind of the right to balance. You know, what I got out of the beers that I had there was kind of like a pineapple, pear, a real nice, it was fruity, but not offensively so. It was fruity in a light, kind of crisp, kind of very refreshing way.
Right.
Not sweet, Did you know, fruity as a character, almost like a late hop character. It was very nice.
Okay.
You know, not deep in the flavor, but in the aromatics, and you know, kind of danced across your palate. I was very impressed. I wasn't a fan before, and when I was there, I'm like, and, you know, one fresh, sip, yeah. And I'm like, wow, this is really good.
Yeah,
I was very impressed.
Interesting.
It's a classic. In days gone by, you'd go in the pub and you'd look what was there, and you'd see tap upon tap of Mega Swill, and then you'd look around some more, and then you'd find the Coopers in the fridge, and that would be your beer of choice when you didn't have any other choice, basically.
The funny thing, I think nowadays is, you know, if you're looking for a beer vacation, a lot of people might think Belgium or you know, Germany or England or even the U.S. for people outside the U.S. But I think Australia, at least, you know, what I saw in Melbourne and what I understand of Sydney and all the, those areas, I think you could have a fine beer vacation there. The brewers there are turning out some great beers and brewing not just sparkling ale, but, you know, styles from around the world. You know, very... very much open-minded, like the U.S. brewers are, you know, as to style, you know, taking on anything and making something new of it, and, you know, open to any challenge, not rooted in tradition and not changing anything, you know, forging new territory.
And I think this particular style, the way the style guidelines are written, it's written around Coopers. So it's a very specific style in that respect. I think there's a lot of potential to interpret this style and use some of the newer ingredients that are about. There was a Willie Simpson, who writes in the Sydney Morning Herald, had an article about Stone and Wood, which is a small microbrewery up in Byron Bay, and they've developed a pale ale. Using what do they say here? Malted barley, malted and unmalted wheat, used Australian Galaxy hop, which is a relatively new high alpha hop. So that would be a similar grist to this style, but using a non-traditional, non-Pride of Ringwood hop. So I think there's a lot of potential in this style for interpretation and development, like has happened in the US with IPA, double IPAs, etc.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you and Barry and I, we were at the James Squire Brewery there at the waterfront, and we tried their pale, and both of you said, "Hey, this is kind of like a." You know, an ode to Australian pale ale, and I thought, you know, there were some similarities to a Belgian wit beer, as a matter of fact. So, you know, I think, you know, my interpretation, of course, based on what I'd known, and you guys were obviously correct in picking out. You know, the similarities to the style and kind of the range of the style, like you're saying, it isn't just this one beer. It's, you know, there's some open to interpretation there.
Mm. Well, the things we've not really touched on are really the presentation in the glass. You would expect about 3 volumes of CO2 because it is very spritzy. Some people like... with a bottle conditioned beer to actually swirl the yeast, and in fact it's people in bars will take the Cooper's pale, which is the green bottle, out of the fridge, roll it along the bar to swirl up the yeast and then pour it, so you get it mid-hef in effect. So some people like doing it that way, and some people will pour it carefully for a very clear clear pour. And You've got a pretty pale gold. I'd say if you were trying to make this spot on, you're only using the little bit of crystal that you're putting in just to get that color. tweaked. Mm-hmm. You know, so the Coopers that I'm drinking now, I poured it carefully, but it's still a bit hazy. Mm-hmm. So it is difficult to get a crystal clear Australian pale ale. They are typically, the character of them is to have the yeast in them, I reckon.
Well, and I think the kegged version that I had there at the conference was also had a bit of cloudiness to it as well. All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll take questions from the chat room for Peter, and we'll be back right after this.
Okay, I rolled a 15, and I get a +2 from my yeast starter.
Nope, sorry, you failed your roll. Your beer is infected.
No way!
You had to beat a 24. It's schizosaccharomyces.
This sucks! I just failed versus oxidation! Our party is fracked! Doug's the only one left, and his beer is a Berliner Weiss!
What's this? A tea party?
Hey, this is a brew session, man. Get lost.
Is that an actual beer?
Yeah, I crafted it. I don't really use the dice anymore. I'm a 10th level beer nerd.
Are you a 10th level beer nerd? Does your significant other know the difference between an Irish red ale and a Flanders red ale? Do you burp, drizzle, spalt, and fart Y-Yeast 2308? Then you're in good company at Northern Brewer. Northern Brewer has all your beer nerd needs, ingredients, equipment, and knowledge 24 hours a day at northernbrewer.com. Plus, fast, cheap shipping, only $7.99 for the contiguous USA. And check out Northern Brewer's huge selection of dorky beer kits, including the socially awkward Patter's Beer and the sci-fi convention showstopper number 8. Make 10th level at northernbrewer.com.
What have you gotten out of a vial of White Labs yeast?
WLP-001 Cal Ale, baby.
23 Burton Ale.
008 East Coast Ale.
Cal Common. WLP-810.
It's gonna be WLP-400 with beer.
I got a sweet hoodie for my vial.
Huh?
White Labs, your source for great brewer's yeast, would like to invite all homebrewers to join the White Labs Customer Club. Redeem your empty vials for great White Labs merchandise and products. Free yeast, glassware, t-shirts, baseball caps, sweatshirts, polo shirts, and you won't believe what you'll get for 5,000 vials. Members also receive a newsletter packed with White Labs updates and facts, interviews with professional brewers, brew your own clone recipes, beercook.com recipes, and customer club stories. The White Labs Customer Club. Save your vials and get in the club. White Labs, it's all in the vial.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of their 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Their Williams German Pils is mashed with pure German Moravian two-row barley malt for a light blonde color and malty Christmas you just can't get from other extracts. Or check out their unique fermenters, draft beer equipment, bottling aids, and more. They even have their own line of precision hydrometers. Go to williamsbrewing.com to browse their vast selection and enter promo code BREW at the order checkout for $5 off your next order over $50. Orders placed by 3 p.m. ship the same day. Again, go to williamsbrewing.com and enter promo code BREW at checkout for $5 off your next order. Brewing is easy the Williams way.
Live. Beer Radio. The Brewing Network.
The Brewcasters.
If you're just starting, don't be discouraged by all this stuff. It's exactly. So easy.
Just throw it together.
Put some sugar and some water and some yeast in there.
Yeah.
It's beer.
Brewing Network.
And now, back to the Jameel Show.
We're back. I'm actually pretty excited about the show because we're talking with two of my really good friends, John Plisse in studio here and Peter Simons in Sydney, Australia.
It's international.
Yeah, well, we appeal to the international audience when we get drunk.
All the colonials together, right?
Yeah. with microphones.
Well, and the thing that's missing from this whole thing is how much of a ball buster Peter is. When you know, you get
him going. Get him drinking.
He's not going to let you, you know, and most of the Australians will not just let you go lightly. you know, if they're not, you know, ribbing you a little bit, giving you a little bit of kidding around, then
you're at home.
They clearly don't like you.
Yeah, I called Peter on Skype just before to check in with him, make sure we had good audio. I said, "Hey, Peter, it's Justin for the Brewing Network." He's like, "Yeah, I know. I could tell by how it said the Brewing Network on your Skype call." He's definitely a ball buster.
That's awesome.
It's an Australian thing. It's a very friendly thing. If they're not doing that, then they want nothing to do with you, I think. It's
we love it very much. We're of the can-do school of getting things happening, yeah.
So in other words, Justin, you're pretty much left out in the cold. Don't bother traveling to Australia. They'll pick you out for the ween that you are.
How is that any different than living here, Jay-Z, for me?
It's a good point.
Nothing. Yeah. Pretty much.
I think you'd fit right in. We'd start taking the proverbial straight away.
Yeah. I'm sure of it.
All right. So what do we have for the chat room?
Well, someone wants to know my opinion on mixing Red Bull and Jaeger.
No.
Okay.
Not
I have to say the chat is less than enthusiastic on the topic.
Ah, you've been watching.
I've got it open. Yeah,
they're less than intelligent on the topic.
It's not a common style for us, obviously. So I think some people are just learning about it for the first time.
Right. I think this is a big education for people, and I'm telling you right now, if you've not had it, and you've not had. If you've not had it in the can, no. If you've not had it fresh,
that's my line.
It's a fantastic beer style. I am a convert, and it took me flying 15 freaking hours or so to find out. And I'm telling you, it's if I could brew this beer, I would. I think it's excellent, especially you know, when in summertime when it gets hot, and humid. It's a great beer to brew for the summertime.
I did have a couple questions come through though, so make sure we get those covered with you.
Okay.
Someone said because it's a high CO2 beer, will that affect the oppression of esters and maltiness having that high amount of carbonation in there?
I guess not. It's typically served, if you go to a pub, it's served pretty cold. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really start getting that ester profile until it's warmed up a bit. So if you get it at 4 degrees in the pub, by the time it's warmed up a bit, it's probably getting towards 6 to 8, where you're just starting to get those flavors. So I don't really think so. It just sort of goes together well, that spritziness.
Okay. All right, and another good question that came through was, given the malt shortage that we're experiencing, are there any substitutes for the Pride of Ringwood malt that we could use?
That would be hops, yes.
That's why Justin works the board.
Yeah.
The ones that I would suggest are either Galena or Cluster.
Mm.
They seem to be the ones that are closest to a Pride of Ringwood. Pride of Ringwood is a fairly unique sort of hop. It's the it's the beer used for all. It was the primary hop used for the big breweries. So you tend to get that tang from it, but the big breweries have all moved on to ISO hops and things now. So your Pride of Ringwood would go classically with this style, but I don't think you want a real citrusy one because this isn't an American pale ale. It's Australian. Australian's supposed to be fruity.
Are you saying Australians are fruity? No,
absolutely.
And the interesting thing that you mentioned, Cluster is a traditional U.S. hop that was used, you know, way back when, and was probably used in Anchor Steam, you know, for at least some period of time. It was a locally grown hop. New York and West Coast, and actually shipped elsewhere in the world. So it's interesting. That's a kind of a traditional hop from about the same time period. And the interesting thing is I think you can get cluster, even with the hop shortage in the U.S., you can get cluster fairly easy.
Yeah.
I think most of the other ingredients, you should be able to get pills all right. You're probably not going to get the Australian. I did have half a mind to specify as all Australian malts, but just to get my own back on every time that you've presented this show in the past, you've used Victory and other esoteric things that we've got no chance of getting. But no, the grist is very straightforward. Some wheat malt, if you like, a little touch of crystal. You can put sugar in if you like. It's not really a big deal. I only gave the percentages. I didn't put in the original gravity. Because you're getting down to such low attenuation, you could be 105.0 for sparkling, 104.8, something like that, and you'll get about a 5.8 to a 6% alcohol. It's a deceptive beer as a sparkling ale. It's a falling over beer if you're not careful. I know you guys like having stronger beers, but if you're whacking down a few cold ones at the end of the day, you do need to take some care.
Oh, catch up, huh?
It's not all I'm whacking at the end of the day.
It happens.
I don't know what you mean.
Or the beginning of the day, or the middle of the day.
Or during the show.
Yeah,
we're wondering where he's went.
That's all the questions I have from the chat.
All right. Well, thank you, Peter, very much for participating in the show and teaching us about Australian Pale Ale. You are going to be out in Oakland, California for the National Homebrew Conference in June 2009. You're going to be presenting on making the most of brewery tours, how to, you know, practical advice on touring breweries of the world, not just some people do like Belgium. Peter's been everywhere, and he is going to talk about the tricks that get you into the brewery, that get you the free samples, that get you, the behind-the-scenes tours, all the practical advice
for
making the most of your beer travel budget. Is that correct, Peter? Have I...
I think I should use you as my marketing department. Right. Yes, there will be elements of all of that.
Right.
That's a good topic.
I gave it to some of the guys from my day job for our pre-Christmas do at the Bavarian Beer Cafe in the center of town in the CBD, and they had a couple of tasting paddles at the same time, and half an hour chat just set us up nicely for the day or the evening. So I'm hopeful a similar result in Oakland.
Well, Peter, thank you again, my brother, for being with us, and I look forward to seeing you. And we need to set aside some time for you and I to go and let me take you out to dinner. And I don't know that we'll top the meal that we had in Melbourne together, but... at least it'll be free for you, and we'll see where we go.
I have very high expectations, Jamil.
As you should. Well,
strippers and blow.
Yeah, I can get you
in and out.
I can get you massage with a happy ending in Oakland. But
my wife will be with me.
Yeah. Okay,
she can get one too.
Please say he'll be there. He'll take care of it. Don't worry. Well, we get Shoe Light to give her a lap
dance. Shoe Light will take care of her.
Can do that too.
Is that Swedish massaging as well? Is it
something?
Anything you want, my friend.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Well, I've really enjoyed it. If anybody wants to. Actually get the style guidelines, it's www.aabc.org.au, and you can find all the variations on the BJCP style guidelines for Australia. And look out for a future, and I'm not sure quite when this will go to air versus when BYO comes out, look out for a future article by Tony Wheeler in BYO on Australian Pale Ale.
Nice.
Great. Thank you very much. Take care, my friend.
Okay. Bye, guys. See you in June.
See you in June. All right, so another great show, I think.
Yeah, tons of info.
Yeah, yeah.
My brain is just...
You know, I think we ought to start over from, Russian Imperial Stout.
Yes.
And another 3 years of revisiting all the styles.
Oh, my God.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, three years of effort. But
we got malt liquor.
Another great show. We are coming up. If you're listening live, stay tuned. We got malt liquor. We've got a special guest from Clark County, Nevada, gonna Skype in and be with us to cover malt liquor. And other than that, if you're listening podcast, brew strong and visit northernbrewer.com.
Absolutely.
Brew strong.
Brew strong.